Well, if you want to get open to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, that's where we'll begin today. And as we start, I heard the Sunday school applauding the kids and the teachers and everything. And that's kind of the idea of what I want to look at today. It's called the praise of grace. And people doing the work of God with the Spirit of God in them, that's something that is pleasing to God. And what else would be pleasing to God? You know, I hear often the phrase, praise the Lord. And it's sometimes kind of an empty, it's a church phrase that you use all the time. Some people do anyhow. I was walking out of by a work site, working temporarily at a hospital right now, and there's one of the preacher guys comes out every day, every morning. As I'm walking in, he's walking out, and he talks about saying, "Have a blessed day," whatever that means. But it's like it opens a door. If someone's a Christian, you would start a conversation at that point. And then as I passed him, I found myself doing praise the Lord. You know, it was one of those, I'm in a hurry to get in. I don't have time to talk, but I approve of your attitude, I might say. But anyhow, what does it mean when we say praise the Lord? Does it give praise to the Lord? And if it does, how often should we do it? Should we say it? Are we instructed in Scripture how to do it? But that's what we want to do. And praise, the word praise, if I want to understand the phrase, I have to understand the word. What does praise mean? And praise means commendable. It could mean adoration. It could mean thanks. Could mean good job. Well done, like the teachers and the students studying and everything there. That's the word praise can mean, can work in a lot of different aspects there. But we express our joy and gladness to Him, praise to Him, because of who He is, what He's done, what He will do with us. And so that's where praise is. Brandon, what a great guy. I mean, for teaching, he's great. And he talked about sometimes in grace, in studying, studied so much that we lose the heart of what God wants us to do. In other words, we get wrapped up in doctrine, which is good, but the idea of just standing and praising Him, and I'll get into that a little more, why would we praise God? I've done that. The title would be The Praise of Grace is what we're studying today. And there is a praise under law. The how and why. Why should we praise Him? Why did Israel praise Him? And how did they do it? And if they praised God and praised the Lord, should we do it the same way? Let's find out. But there's praise under grace, the how and why. The how and why of grace, of praise. Praise. Anyone here a sports nut? Over there? Okay. When was the last highlight where the fans went nuts over it? Maybe there was a closing basket at the buzzer or a home run at the last inning. Anything you can think of? You've certainly seen something like that happen in your lifetime, right? Where the fans get up and down and jump around and everything. But that's, why wouldn't we do that when we hear that Christ died for our sins? You know, where is that? And Judy and I have just moved to a new house, and it's surrounded by trees. Some of the trees are like 80 feet tall and everything, and it's beautiful. And when I study praise, and I walk outside, and I see this pine tree that I can't even see the top. The squirrels know where it's at, though. They get up there, knock the pine cones down and everything, then the chipmunks eat them. But I look at that tree and I goes, Lord, how'd you do that? Now, you not only made the tree, you made the pine cone so it could reproduce itself. And then you put squirrels in the tree. Now, how does a squirrel know how to get up that tree? How'd you do that? And I look and I just stand back and says, pretty good. And I mean, it's just raw. That's how I am. And hopefully that translates into praise for God. He's done something well. Admit it. You did a great job. I can't do that. I can't make a tree. Nope, can't do it. But that's God. You're in 1 Chronicles, right? Chapter 16. Verse 35. 16. Nope, let's start in verse 4. This is talking about David, King David. It says, and he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to, we got a lot of words there, but they praised him with the sound of cymbals, Benaiah, verse 6, also Jahaziel, the priest, with the trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. So there was King David, was a man after God's own heart, and he set people out there, the Levites, it says, and all these other guys, the chief, to praise the Lord and to play trumpets continually before the Lord. Now, continually, I'm not sure if that's when they were moving or all day and all night. Let's find out. Verse 25. By the way, I can't just go to one verse in 1 Chronicles 16 because the whole chapter is loaded with verse 24. Declare his glory among the heathen. Your name here. His marvelous works among all the nations. If you lived back there, you were considered one of the nations, one of the heathen. If you weren't Israel, you were not included in God's plan and program. That was in under prophecy. We today live under mystery, which is the grace program. Verse 25, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared among all gods, small g. For all the gods of the people are idols, and the Lord may the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. David is just breaking out, and he's going, yeah, that's my God. And all these things he can do, and I can almost hear his tone on how he's praising God. Look at verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, it doesn't say give thanks to God. There's a why attached to this. It says, unto the Lord, for he is good. There's a reason you give thanks, for he is good. For, in other words, for the intent, you give thanks. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. And you'll see that over and over and over again in the Old Testament. His mercy endureth forever. Verse 35, and say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen. Again, your name here. That we may give thanks unto thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Do you see the small word that? Gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks unto thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Lord, if you deliver us, we're going to praise you. Be careful on how you do that. That's not something, you know, if I get a raise next week, I will praise you, Lord. You know, that's kind of tempting the Lord. 36, blessed be the Lord God of heaven, or of Israel. Oh, excuse me. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. So they opened their mouth and said something to praise the Lord. And I put down a few items over here at the top. That's just a few. Pastor Tom told me not to write anymore because I don't have time to teach it. So, but I'm only on page 3. But we see how King David has a heart for God, and he makes sure that he has people in his company there to praise God. Chapter 23, 1 Chronicles 23. in verse 23:5. And it says, this is David again, "Moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith." David divided them and so on into choruses. But he took 4,000 men just to praise the Lord. Now, how are we doing with that number? We got a lot of catching up to do, I think. Do you think praise is important to God? Amen. All right. Have you ever worried about what the guy sitting next to you thinks if you say amen or praise the Lord or that's great? Forget it. Don't worry about him. You're talking to the Lord. You're praising the Lord. It's him you need to be concerned with. If there's something that's said up here or in conversation, amen. Make it known that you agree with that. We're in verse 5 of chapter 23. "There were 4,000 porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made," said David, "to praise the Lord with." So he's using instruments now to praise the Lord. Right, Jim? There's trumpets in here too. Second Chronicles chapter 20. And you can remember this easy by 2 Chronicles 20:20. And it says there, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper.' And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever.'" All right. We understand something about right division here, don't we? And we're not Israel, and we're not fighting, we're maybe fighting battles with our nation, but we're not fighting a battle as they did, with the Lord going forth before them. They said when they walked and they went forth before the army, the singers went first. In the army, we have scouts that do that. They pick the shortest guys to be scouts. And so, and the fastest. And so they put the singers up in front and they started to go before the army. And what happened? Verse 22. "And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." So as they praised the Lord looked down, says, "Yeah, that's good. I'm going to take care of business here." That's a whole nother study in itself. And that's very interesting how God works when he's praised. Do you think praise is important to God? You're showing him off. You're showing him off with the loud cymbals, with the trumpets, with everything else that they were instructed to do. And I had some other verses here in Psalms. Let me just read these to you. I tell you what, turn to Psalms 107. This won't take long. But very interesting, especially, anyone here have kids in the Sunday school? We have one there. All right. If you know anyone who likes to memorize verses, and here's Psalms 107, verse 8. Someone read that. Raise your hand and read it. Okay, David?
"Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men."
Okay. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Why? For his goodness. So there's a reason why, and that is for his goodness and for his wonderful works. Psalms 107:15. Someone else read a verse. Raise your hand and read it. Anyone? Jim?
15.
Oh,
that
Oh, kind of sounds like the other verse that we just finished. So if you memorize 107.8, you know 107.15. Someone read 107.21. All right, there, Adam.
Amos. That men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children.
Oh, man, you got three verses. All you got to do is memorize one. You got three verses that talk about praising the Lord. Someone, 107.31, anyone? There you go. Was that verse 31? Well, 107.31. All right. So it's all of the same Psalms, and so it's important that the Holy Spirit saw that this should be repeated over and over again for his goodness and his wonderful works. There's a reason we praise the Lord. We don't just, oh, praise the Lord, you know. And that's okay, but watch the context in which you do it. Don't let it be a repetitious thing like I do sometimes. And it says there in Psalms 109:30, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. So the other thing is how. How do you praise the Lord? And the psalm said, with my mouth. In other words, it's not just a mental thing back there. Psalms 150, please turn there. Short psalms. Psalm 150, verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And that's a good culmination to the study, a quick study in the Old Testament. Very quick. The praise was important to God back then. In Matthew 25, in verse 21, and it says, his Lord said unto him, I'm just breaking into the context here. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So he said, well done. And that's a compliment to your doing something the right way, and similar to praise. And verse 23 says, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, so on. But the idea of doing something well, and he is getting he's being commended for what he's doing. And so that's something to remember. Again, in Scripture, something that we should know. Even though these verses are not Pauline, they're not Romans through Philemon, but there are horizontal truths. You've heard me say this before. There are horizontal truths, some things that never change, and there's vertical truths. Deliver us from our enemies, and we'll praise you. Is that something we would do today? You go into battle? I'm going to praise him before I go up in the battle, you know, and I'm not going to be out in front of the army either. But there are certain things that stay the same, and part of that is wanting to please God, and I want him to say at the end of my life, well done. You did pretty good. Not great, but well done. The praise of grace. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners,
Christ died
for us. He commended his love toward us. And I went through that word commend, and it means different things too, and words have meaning, so I want to know what that means. And commendable, it means to be, it actually has another definition, and it's called praise. The other idea is that it's coming from one person to commend something to another person. On the cross, Christ cried, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit. My spirit is going to you. I give up my life. No one takes it from me." So he took his life and gave it his spirit and back to the Father. And so, but God commendeth his love toward us. He not only conveyed it to us through Jesus Christ, but he said, "I approve of what I'm doing." And if he can pat himself on the back, right, so to speak, that's fine with me. But he commended his love, not only gave it to us, but he says, "This is the right thing to do. This is, I approve of what I'm doing." He commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. In the Army, the Commendation Medal is a mid-level United States medal, which is presented for sustained acts of heroism or meritorious service, for valorous actions in direct contact with the enemy, but a lesser degree than required for the Bronze Star. And so here is something the Army recognizes. There's a medal given that's a medal of commendation. Well done, good service, and here you go. And I think I threw all my medals out sometime. I couldn't find it. I was going to bring one for a display today, but I think I threw them out because they're worth nothing. But I'm going to drop down to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In Paul's letters to us, we never get instructions on how to praise the Lord. We get attitude from Paul. Paul goes in 1 Timothy 1:15, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God." Be honor and glory forever and ever. I thought I had it. But Paul breaks out into this, "Now to the King, immortal, invisible, the eternal, the only wise God." And he says, glory to him. He understands that heart. Paul went through a lot of afflictions to get this mystery gospel to us. And he understood what praise was. And he even told the, where are we at, in 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians verse 10. "For we dare not to make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves," 2 Corinthians 10:12. "We dare not to make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves." What would that be? That'd be called pride? Pretty good. We were at the mission Sunday. I was talking to Dave Sunday. We're at the Detroit Rescue Mission. And after everything was done, we sang a song. And this one guy that was sitting in the front row that we brought up to sing, he came up and he just, for 10 minutes or so, I don't know, he just rattled off all his qualifications, all his ministries, all his attributes, how good he is, and who he should listen to on the radio and stuff. And he just went on and on about, he was commending himself. And so we just packed our stuff up and said, praise the Lord. by the way, when I handed him the mic to come up and sing with us, remember the system was down? Hello, hello, hello. We couldn't hear him. I love it. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians 10:17. "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." You know, there's a day coming when we're going to receive praise of God. because we're in his Son. We're in Christ. And Christ is the only one in this universe that deserves praise. So we're in Christ. And that's something that he took, a broken down vessel that's scarred. Jim sang that song with the fiddle last week, or week before, was it? And the fiddle was broken and scarred, but the master held it up with their bow, and he played the tune. And the master can make it right. And that's Jesus Christ is the only one that can take something like this and make it shine with his glory. I think of that commendation medal. And I remember the Olympics where they put those medals and they stand on the platforms there. And it's as if, in my mind, this isn't so, but this is what I think. And the day I got saved, Christ took a medal. And that's Carl. And after a few years, it's tarnishing. I got to shine this thing up again. And he's got your medal. Because you believed in Christ. And he's got all these medals that are trophies. This is my body. These are my trophies because of what I did. They believed in me. And now I have to keep these shined up. I can't wear a tarnished medal. And so he keeps. Where sin abounded, right. And so we can't out-sin God's grace, but he cannot be tarnished. And we're part of his body. And at the end of our lives, what's going to happen? All the good works, the gold, silver, precious stones, our good works will go on forever, praising the Lord. And all our bad works are just going to burn. Thank you very much that they'll burn. They can't go into heaven. They can't be part of his praise and glory. The part of Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. I was amazed to find more verses on praise in the book of Ephesians, which sounds more like a battle chapter. In Ephesians. It sounds like war pretty much through it. But Ephesians 1:6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, if we sin not. Oh, come on now. Yeah, good. Say no, preacher. Say no, teacher. That's not how it's written. We are accepted in the beloved. It is not probation. We are accepted. He has us as a trophy. No man can take us out of his glory. Who can condemn us? Who can take that trophy away from Christ? We're his forever. He bought us with his blood. And we're his trophies. In eternity, he's going to show us off as my trophies. This is what I can do. And this is how powerful I am. This is my manifold wisdom. And so we are going to be to hit the praise and the glory of his grace. We're his medal of commendation and praise. And he needs to keep us, if we don't do it ourselves, he needs to keep us polished and shined. In his eyes, we're always shined. Verse 12, Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. There's no praising God without first trusting in Christ. Understood? See that verse there? Who first trusted in Christ. That we, again, your name here. That's you. That you're in that verse. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Your name here. That verse is talking about you and me. Any believer, unto the praise of his glory. When we first trust Christ, he sends his Holy Spirit into us. With his Spirit, we have the fruits of the Spirit that are available to us. We need to now just what? Work them out. work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What I did here, and not a lot of time to go over things, but under grace, the why should we praise him? It's unlimited. It's unlimited with knowledge. Of course, we're not under the law, so we don't. Under the law, that wasn't a suggestion. That was required. King David wouldn't set 4,000 men to praise God without being a requirement. Philippians 1:11 says, I'll get you time to get there. Philippians 1:11. It says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. He gave us something, the Spirit of God in us, that we can, the fruit of the Spirit, works out, and it's unto the praise of his glory. So he gives us something, and he wants it back. Remember when Israel went through, was exiting? They got all the, they spoiled the Egyptians, got all the gold and the earrings and everything. They went out into the wilderness. You know what God used that spoils for? His temple. He got it back. So he gives us something, and he wants the praise. He wants the glory. And if we don't do that, you know what? There's people in what's called a Pentecostal arena where they jump, shout, and knock yourself out kind of thing. They got nothing on us. We have the understanding with, I don't mean to sound, we have it, but we understand with right division who these things are written to here. I don't know if you guys want to start dancing around and praising the Lord later on. It's not our instructions. Paul, through that message of mystery, never tells us how to do the things that they did back here. Praying in front of the marching army. We can do this, though. You know what I said? There was those horizontal truths that stay the same always. Can you praise God with your mouth? Can you praise God with a trumpet? Can you praise God with an organ? Loud cymbals? That's next on our list. Tom's sweating back there. But it's just the idea of, Lord, good job. We saw praise under the law, praise under grace, briefly. But why should we praise him? For who he is. For what he's done for us through Christ. For what he will do when he brings us home to glory. Thank you. And I think of it with all I have. It's like that idea of my team just won and they slam dunked that thing at the buzzer. And you go, yeah. You know, yeah, you spill your Coke all over the place. And I call it spiritual emotion. Is it okay to have emotion and that feeling towards God? Good job, God. You know, that's a Carl verse. I just made that up. We can praise God anyway with song, words, and thanksgiving. And you build that praise. It's not something that I can give you a 1, 2, 3-step or 4-step. You figure it out yourself. When you read the scriptures, you have the Holy Spirit in you. God works in you with the Spirit in you, and he takes the word, the Spirit takes the word, and he works that through with the fruit of the Spirit so that someone else can see what he's done with you. Well, that's a miracle. You've changed. You've changed. How can God do that with you? How can God make that tree? How can God make that little squirrel go up there and knows what to get and what not? Praise God for that. For his work he did through Jesus Christ when he paid for our sins at Calvary. That is the ultimate praise that we can ever give him. Thank you for that, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we're glad again for your word. How else would we know what to do? And thank you for what it does in us, that we need to stop for a moment and just breathe and thank you for what you've done and praise you because of what you've done and how you've done it. We can't do those things, Lord. Thank you for your strength and power and your mighty wisdom, all because of Jesus Christ. Amen.